All right. At this time, we'd like to dismiss all of our elementary kids to Kid Zone and also our teenager, middle school age to Teen Zone. And we got Miss Sylvia and we got Miss Denise spending some time with you guys today. So have fun, enjoy, and we'll see you later. Good morning, LCC. Hope everyone's doing all right. And whew, we need some extra prayers sent up for this coming week. For relief from the heat. Whew, it's been hot. I was trying to remember the last time I've been in temperatures like that, and I guess it might have been a couple of years ago when Chicago had a hot spell, but nah, this is different. Oh, yeah, it is different. Well, I tell you what, we are in the middle of a current sermon series that I hope that has been a blessing for all of you as we've been looking at the life of Daniel. Over the past couple of weeks. And what we've kind of discovered about Daniel is that while he's known for his experience in the lion's den, and we talked about that last week, we also understand that he has a special, unique ability by God, or working with God for that matter, when it comes to interpreting dreams and visions. And when we think about those kind of things, man, that's just our mysteries unto ourselves. I mean, probably maybe some of you can remember your dream from last night. Megan was telling me about a dream she recently had, and I was just like, how in these two things can come together? Like, you'll be thinking of a reality, and somehow reality is a TV show you've been watching. You know, it's one of those things where, like we talked about, the brain seems to, like, take all this information and processes it in different ways when we're dreaming. But we do know that Daniel had the ability to interpret people's dreams and their visions. And with the help of God, he never claimed it was his own. And another thing about Daniel, he's in exile. He is exiled from his homeland of Jerusalem because the Babylonian Empire has come and took a siege of it. And now all of those folks are basically in exile in Babylon. And one of the things that kind of led us about Daniel is to give him a nickname. Just like we considered Elijah back in June underrated. Daniel's a man of mystery because he's surrounded by mystery. He's surrounded by this mysterious thing about dreams and visions. Today, we're going to take a look at something very unique about Daniel. I don't think another aspect of him that we don't think about that much. And so what I'd like to do is just go ahead and start this time off right and ask you to pray with me this morning. So if you don't mind, let's pray together and ask God's word to be there for us today. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for allowing our lives to understand that, you know, an hour, 15 minutes out of our time to come together and worship you, God, is so well worth it. I pray, God, that we've come into this place today, no matter what's been going on in our lives, that we acknowledge you as God, we acknowledge you as Lord, and that you are working in our lives and you're moving in our lives. Father, I pray now that you would just bless our time together that we have. And may it be fruitful, may it be beneficial, not just for us, God, but certainly allowing us to come before you and just laying at your feet, relaxing and allowing you to move in us and encourage us and strengthen us at this time. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we offer this prayer. Amen. So last week in the story that we talked about, the Daniel in the lion's den, we discovered the reason why Daniel was possibly even thought about being put in there. And it was the fact that he, despite a law that was written by the king, so that within a 30-day period, you can only pray to the king. It'd be almost like, you know, praying to the boss or praying to the president or praying to the pope, you know, anything like that. But Daniel was not going to be deterred by praying to his God. In fact, the way that it's pictured is that he would get up, he would open his windows. And of course, every time I think about any kind of scene where it talks about opening windows, you can't help but just think, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. Boy, if Daniel only knew that song, man, that would have made his prayer life a lot better, I tell you what. But he would open his windows, and he would pray 3 times a day. And that was cherished for him. There was something about prayer that was his pillar. It was his rock. It was his foundation for his life. Because you look at Daniel, he was an exile. He was someone who was outside in. And all of a sudden, here's Daniel. He is nearly at the very top in the leadership role in Babylon. He's nearly over the entire Babylonian empire. I mean, come on. The only other time I can think of that the Bible even speaks about that is Joseph and what happened to him. But Daniel is right up there. He's helping lead people. He's helping making lives better, making differences. He's ahead of all the officers and the magistrates and the administrators and so forth. And the reason for this was, yes, he was faithful to God, but he was also consistent in his prayers. And I want to look at that today. I want to look at the fact that Daniel was not just a man of mystery. He is also a man of prayer. I think that's huge for us to understand. Now, listen, this isn't the first time somebody we could say there's a man of prayer. The Bible speaks a lot about men and women who were absolutely prayer warriors. For instance, you may not recognize this name, but there's a lady by the name of Hannah. She prayed for a child, but the child just children didn't come for her until finally she prayed, God, if you give me a child, I'm going to dedicate that child to your service. He will be your servant. You can use him however you want. The Lord heard that prayer. He gave her a child, and that child's name was Samuel, who would be a prophet for the Lord and would anoint the first 2 kings of Israel. Another one is Peter. Peter's no stranger to prayer. He's probably prayed often. Jesus taught him to pray. But there was one point in Peter when he was a part of the church growing. It was really moving. However, he was put in prison. He was arrested. And what happened? Instead of the church worrying, trying to figure out what to do, they got together and they prayed for Peter. And that night, an angel of the Lord came, did the little wave of the Jedi hand, probably. The cuffs came off. Peter walks out. And what does he do? He goes to his friends and says, "This, look what happened. Look what your prayers did." You guys ever heard of that old story called Jonah and the Whale? How many of you guys would like to be swallowed up by a big fish? Could you imagine how smelly that is, man? Gross. I'll tell you this. He prayed for forgiveness. He prayed for a rededication of his life while in the fish. And what does God do? All right, you get your second chance. It's going to be gross when you come out, but that's okay. You're going to get your second chance. Spit him out. He went on his way to Nineveh when he was supposed to go the first time. Preached a message of repentance to that town, hoping that the Lord would bring fire and brimstone all over like Sodom and Gomorrah. Instead, that town repented. All because if Jonah would have done his job the first time, he wouldn't have to worry about smelling like sushi. There's many other types of prayers recorded all throughout the Bible. And I tell you what, if you ever get a chance, if you want to do a word study, you want to do a search in prayer, if you're looking for something that would maybe spice up your prayer life a little bit, and we're going to really dive into that today, I encourage you, look it up. Man, you can find all sorts of great stories of prayer and faith in those. But today, I want us to take a look at a prayer by Daniel. It's a unique prayer from him. And I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 9 in your Bibles. And we're going to dive into this prayer, how a little bit of this prayer life was for him. So Daniel chapter 9, we're going to start our very first verse this morning together. And as you're reading, It's a very unique circumstance here. It's one of the rare personal times we get to really know Daniel's heart. And I think this will benefit us a lot today, this morning. So let's begin in starting very first verse, Daniel chapter 9. And let's have our minds opened and our eyes opened to what prayer life can look like. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Hazarsus, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord, as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. Now I know most of us wouldn't be the ones to be wearing burlap unless you're just a real country boy, you know, and you like wearing burlap. But many of us wouldn't be wearing burlap and pour ashes all over ourselves before praying today. But this had a significance in a Hebrew's life. So I just want to explain this for just a moment. You know, maybe you've heard it before, like somebody putting on sackcloth and ashes. I think the NIV version translates it that way. But when you think about burlap, some folks would just use that as a covering for this humbleness, this heaviness of life, this burden. And some would usually do it that way if there was something with their life. But if it was about burlap and ashes, there was something more significant about this. Earlier we mentioned that Daniel learned that Jerusalem, by a prophecy of the Lord, was going to be desolate for 70 years. So whenever someone or a group of people put on burlap and ashes, it was to pray for a suffering in a nation. It was their way in which they would beseech the Lord, they would humbly come before him, and just understand that they are just sorrowful for what has happened. So you can do more word study on that if you want, but it's mainly just for those reasons why they would put the ashes on along with the burlap. It's the prayer for a nation. It's to take the moments to pray for healing, pray for forgiveness. And so this brought Daniel to seek God humbly, with brokenness, to come before God in a manner that would be respectful, yet open. So, just to kind of sum this up and give you a little point to think about when you're thinking about your prayers and so forth, the first thing you need to realize is come before God with humility and respect. That's the first thing you need to really understand about God, because I think some folks might accidentally start coming before God nonchalantly, thinking that God will just be there and he'll hear me, it's all about me. But no, we need to come before God with humility and respect, but know he is open to your openness. Now some folks will think, well, Chip, you shouldn't yell at God, you shouldn't be angry with God. The Bible has all throughout people yelling and being open with God. And God can take that, okay? He's God. And more than anyone, I think I've said this once before, it's however your way you come before God, as long as you're really acknowledging him, you're seeking, you're going to come in humility, you're going to come humbly to him, you're going to respect him. But he can take how you're feeling. He can take how your life is going. You feel like everything's crumbling around you. He can take that. It's okay to be broken and to be honest and be open with God. He wants that from you. I believe you will understand this as you read this prayer right now we're about to read from Daniel. That's very heartfelt. It's very open. So let's pick up a chapter, verse 4 here. And as you're reading, and read along either in your Bible or on the screen here, look at the wording he uses. Feel the emotion used in this heartfelt prayer for the living God. And just think about it, this was you. Think about if your home, your house, your family, your town, your county, maybe the whole state, Tennessee. Think about if this was the perspective here. And let's read together this personal prayer to the Lord from Daniel. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right. But as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel, scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings, princes, and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your instruction and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. So now the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out and poured down on us because of our sin. You have kept your word and done to us and our rulers exactly as you warned. Never has there been such a disaster as happened in Jerusalem. Every curse written against us from the law of Moses has come true. Yet we have refused to seek mercy from the Lord our God by turning from our sins and recognizing his truth. Therefore, the Lord has brought upon us the disaster he prepared. The Lord our God was right to do all these things, but we did not obey him. O Lord our God, you brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a great display of power. We have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. All the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors. O our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on your desolate sanctuary. Oh, my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. See how your city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruins. We make this plea, not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay, O Lord, my God. For your people and your city bear your name. Quite a heartfelt prayer. Someone who cares deeply about what he loves. And we can translate that to whatever it is that's going on in our lives. My goal today isn't to dissect this prayer necessarily. But my point today is that there's four things that I want us to get on how you can take your prayer life, if you have a prayer life. Maybe today you need to, this is a great message for you because today is the day you can begin starting a prayer life that will exceed your expectations in so many ways. So let's look at these four things as for the rest of our time together today. So the first thing I want to bring up, and this is in your bulletin, you have, there's little blanks and so forth that you can write in there, so you don't have to write all of this out. I wanted to make sure that gave you that mechanism to do that today. But the first thing we can look at about a daily prayer life is that a daily prayer life gives us the best platform to express ourselves before God. You know, I mentioned earlier, you can come before God with humility and respect, but know He is open to your openness. This is a great platform for us to express ourselves before God. Because here's the thing, human life, if you're not aware, depending on how long it lives in this world, is going to go through seasons. We are all going to go through seasons in life. Some people like to get the analogy of waves of an ocean or the waves of a river or the waves of a lake. They come and go. They go up and down. But I like to think of it as seasons. Sometimes we go through seasons of joy and satisfaction in life. Sometimes we go through seasons of loss and tragedy. And we also go through seasons of adjustment in life as well. And that's just to name a few. And what's impressive is that God is right there through all of them. Through every season in life that we go through, He is there to meet us. I love what Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says. When God spoke to him and shared this, He said, "Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do now know about the things to come." And in the same manner, the same Jeremiah that Daniel read about, also said this in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 13. It says, "In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." And when I say all aspects, I mean all aspects. Our joys, our accomplishments, our sorrows, our anger, our doubts, our joys, our dreams, our expectations. God is ready and willing to hear them and give you a platform where you can express your thoughts. You can express what you're feeling. You can express what's going on in your life. I love, just to share a little bit here, I'm actually loving a routine that I'm in right now. Every morning, I call out my little dog. I say, "Oreo, you got to go outside and go potty?" She's so good about just getting out of that bed and making her way to the sliding door in the back, onto the deck. But before I let her out, I grab a towel and I grab my Bible. And as she's taking care of her business, I open up the Word of God. And to me, man, when we were looking for places to live and I saw this one house we're in now, I said, man, I can't wait for mornings where I can just go up and take my Bible and just go read. Just be fed by God. And even just have those moments of just heart to heart. And I've had a couple of hearts to hearts on that deck so far. And I encourage you, find your place. Find your place where it can be just you and Him. Because when you find that place, it'll help you. So a daily prayer life gives you the best platform to express yourself before God. Number two, a daily prayer life gives you the best platform to express our gratitude for God's blessings. I hope everyone knows in this room that God is indeed a gracious and generous God. But that only continues when we have heartfelt gratitude for the blessings He gives us. And we also can't measure those blessings in just material, physical needs. I think sometimes we think about that. When we think about God being generous and we think about God being gracious and so forth, we look at it from the standpoint of the material aspects. And I'm not slamming that at all. I think God does that to make sure that he reminds us that he is faithful in those areas. But there's so much more that we have to pursue when it comes to those kind of blessings. And I've mentioned this before. In fact, I'm reminded that each and every day, it's the spiritual blessings that we shoot for, that we aim for, that will certainly last on and on. In fact, Jesus tells us this. If you think about the Sermon on the Mount that he preached, he actually mentions this very much about how we should express our gratitude and what we're storing up, so to speak. So Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21 tell us this. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust can't destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Okay? Think about that one. That's an important one right there. Where your treasure is, what you hold dear in your life, what is so close to you that is above everything else, where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And you have to wrestle with that with God. Is God your treasure, or is it something else? Always remember that. When we seek those kind of blessings, then God gives even more generously than the ones we can just see or smell or touch or taste or hear. But in any case, make sure that you are displaying your heartfelt gratitude to the Lord for every blessing that comes. It's because he cares for you, cares for me, and all those around you. In fact, listen to this promise from Jesus himself later in that chapter. That is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you will have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying what we will eat or what we will drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. A daily prayer life gives the best platform to express your gratitude for God's blessings. Number three, a daily prayer life gives us the best platform to confess our sin and get right with God. Tell you what, this life, if you don't realize it just yet, this life will constantly remind you that we don't have it all together. Even in our best day, we're not perfect. We all sin daily, whether we know it or not. Even as a follower of Christ, that does not omit us from the sin that we can easily fall into. Remember, there are sins of the body, sins of the heart, of the mind, of the spirit. And we're fighting against this sinfulness that lives within us as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's frustrating at times. I feel the same way. There's moments in my life where I just like, daggone it, I screwed up again. I messed it up this time around. God, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm constantly doing that. feel like, God, am I wasting your grace? Have I reached my quota, God? So what do? I love what Psalm 32 tells us, verses 1 through 5. Gives us some great advice here. It says, and this is from David, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." We can take David's example here, how to unload our guilt and shame that comes from sin and lay it at the feet of Jesus, who goes to the Father on our behalf to show us that we're made right with Him and that God can see us as children of light and not stained by the sin that dirties our souls. In fact, Paul echoes this in 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6, that says, "For there is one God and one mediator who can conceal or reconcile God and humanity, the man, Christ Jesus. He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave the world at just the right time." Aren't we glad of that, aren't we? And why is Jesus the man for the job? Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says it almost perfectly. "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he has faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Aren't those encouraging words? To use this platform and to be right with God, to confess this sin. And here's a big point I want you to get out of this, okay? As much as it is easy to do, it's easy to say, because we live in such a busy world, everything's happening around us, we got to stay on this constant routine in life. Don't just say, "Lord, kind of busy right now, would you please just forgive my sin? And that's it." I hate to break it to you, it doesn't work that way. Yes, some of you are probably thinking, "Chip, God already knows my sin. He knows what I'm doing. That's just to make it simple. I can just say that because God already knows." It's not the point. You see, it's for our benefit that we actually speak what we know we could be sinning, what is sin against God that's going on in our life. When we actually confess it and speak it out, that's connection with God. That is heartfelt repentance. That is heartfelt confession. And it can happen in your life. You don't just take this sin and just think, "God, I already sinned. I know I sinned." You can't look at sin lightly. Because here's what I remember. You remember back a couple of series ago, a statement that I made? All unforgiven sin leads to eternal death. Don't forget that. Treat sin like how God sees it. It separates him and us. It's a third person that you don't want in your life with God, even though it's always trying to get in between you and him. So therefore, use the mediator. Use the other third person in Jesus Christ to understand that. In fact, James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So it can be to God. It can be to your Savior, your Lord, Jesus. Or someone, a Christian brother or sister that you trust. Someone that will not just tell you, well, you better not do that again. There's times you probably do need that. Let's just be honest. But in that moment, they're right there to encourage you and pray for you. And help you in your struggle. Because guess what? They are probably more than likely going through a similar or a different type of struggle on their own. So we're there for one another. That's how we love on each other in the church. It's when we pray for one another. So we've looked at this daily prayer life that gives you the best platform to express yourself, to show your gratitude for God's blessings, to confess your sin and get right with God. And finally, number four, a daily prayer life provides a platform to express our heartfelt worship to God. Now, sometimes I think, well, Chip, we worship God through prayer? You see, worship isn't just coming together like this and singing songs. It's a part of it. It's a part of worship. And that can be on a whole nother sermon series regarding that. But in some ways, if you really look at it, one of the most important, one of the most intimate times of worship that you can have is when you are in prayer. In fact, if you actually look at many of the worship songs, whether they're hymns, whether they're contemporary, whether they're some modern Christian songs, most of them are prayers with melody to it. They take the time to just lift those out in a different way. And so think about your worship and how your prayer life and your prayer time can be a worship. If you want just help with that, go to the book of Psalms and find all the moments that David just absolutely prayed and worshiped God. One of my favorites is actually Psalm 100. And just how he just lifted up his voice and his words to God in so many different ways there. So, understand. And in fact, Paul helps us understand this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. How does this worshiping and prayer, what does it look like, Chip? It looks like these three small verses. And yet there is so much power in them. The first one is always be joyful. Not always be happy. Not always be excited. Not always having zeal or being enthusiastic. You're just full of positivity. Okay? Because those things can be snuffed out by all the negative stuff that happens in life. All the bad stuff, all the sin. It could be snuffed out by just putting a candle out with your finger. Okay? Always be joyful. Can't be extinguished like that. Because no matter what's going on around you, the joy of the Lord, as Scripture says, is our strength. So always be joyful. It also goes on to say, never stop praying. Okay, so what this means, just so if anybody's confused, this does not mean you have to keep on praying 24/7, 6 days, 7 days a week, okay? Oh my gosh, let's just finish this prayer. Okay, I gotta come up with another prayer. And then you finish that prayer. Oh, I gotta come up with another prayer. No, that's not what that scripture's saying. What that scripture is saying is that no matter what is happening in your life, whether it is fantastic, whether it's a fun moment, whether it's, I made a mistake moment, whether it's a sad moment, whether it is a tragic moment, no matter what happens, that prayer is your go-to. It is the first thing you think about when you want them, something's going on in your life. You pray about it. Because God wants to be in the moments of your joy. He wants to be in the moments of that promotion that you get at work. He wants to be a part of that moment where you get to celebrate another birthday. That's why I saw Jimmy this morning. He was tired, man. He'd been partying all day yesterday, right, man? That's right. He was telling me how he was slaving over those burgers. I could smell them a mile away. I was waiting for Jimmy to invite me. Jimmy. Just kidding. But it's in those moments that you just, hey, God, thank you so much. For that moment where all of a sudden you just avoided a major accident, whew, thank you, Lord Jesus. In that moment where you've sweated through a day of hard work, and you say, God, thank you so much for getting me through the day, and now I can relax. Thank you, Lord. Or God, it's hard. Can't help but remember that loved one I lost. They're back in my mind again. But God, I know they're with you. Never stop praying. Let prayer be what you turn to in all of life's moments. And finally, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Ooh, that's a tough one sometimes. Be thankful in all circumstances because guess what? What is it? It is God's will for you. I don't know how many times I've had people come up to me and ask me, Chip, what is God's will for my life? What does God expect of me? What's God's plan for my life? I say, I can't answer that for you, but I can tell you this one thing, that you need to be thankful in all circumstances, no matter what happens. So being joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. That's God's will for your life. And there's many more where that came from, just so you know. But this, these three aspects, this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. So daily prayer life provides you a platform to express your heartfelt worship to God. You know, even though he didn't get to meet Jesus, I know this was Daniel's mindset in his prayer life. Just the prayer that we read earlier. You know, he was respectful to God. He was honest about the sin he and his people committed. He asked for forgiveness. And he even asked for the Lord's involvement. But I want to look at one final thing in what happened in Daniel's prayer. As we close, let's read Daniel 9, verses 20 through 23. I went on praying and confessing my sin and my sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. As I was praying, Gabriel, whom I had seen in an earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. He explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. The moment you began praying, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it is, for you are very precious to God. God held Daniel as precious to him. Not in the Gollum, Lord of the Rings way, okay? Go ahead and get that out of your mind right now. I know some of you are thinking it when I said that. My precious. No. That's not the type of precious we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about special, valuable, and just dearly connected to God. Because of Daniel's prayer life, God had that value, that feeling over Daniel. And here's the truth. If you are in Jesus Christ, He feels the exact same way about you. If you're outside of Christ, He still finds you that way as well. He just wants you to come back home to Him. We're precious to Him enough that Jesus was willing to lay His precious blood out and have it poured out for us so that we can have this kind of relationship, that we can have the power to have our sins washed away and given a new life would happen. And all we have to do is accept and ask. Ask and accept this from the Father. And if we're to do this, it would bring your prayer life and give your prayer life a whole new meaning. If you want to take your prayer life to the next phase for Christ, follow these things. Follow God's Word. And think about how Daniel thought about God. And now you see just how much God values Daniel. He values you. Will you value Him today? I want to offer a prayer. It's not a prayer of salvation, but it's a prayer for healing in your life. If you're at a part in your life where you just feel like, God, I feel incomplete. I feel lost. I feel like there's no hope. That's what this prayer is for you. If you feel like you have sinned against the Lord, that your sin is keeping you, your sin is keeping you from things, great things happening in your life because you can't get rid of the chains. You, for whatever reason, you like being shackled, even though you think you're not. And I want to encourage you, if you've been seeking the Lord with all your heart and you're doing everything you can, I want this to be a prayer of encouragement for you. To keep steadfast. Keep being wholehearted. And the Lord will be with you. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before You, as we close our time together, Lord, I hope it's been a time where we've come together to just be encouraged by You, to be loved on by You, as we turn love on You, Lord, even though You first loved us. Lord, I take this moment right now to pray for anyone who has yet to accept Jesus Christ as not only Savior, but as Lord. Lord, I pray for those that have had their faith shaken, have had their faith stripped by the temptations and the voices of the evil one, the devil, Satan. I pray, Lord, for strengthening and encouragement for those who are trying to live a life for You. But it feels like every time there's always a slip up. There's always a mess up. There's always something that doesn't go right. Well, God, we're not perfect. We are just simply must come to the understanding that Your grace is sufficient for us. It is our power. Your power is made perfect in our weakness. And Father, I ask now that in the name of Jesus, wherever we are at today, God, I pray that we will listen and hear. Because You did pay for it all. when you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for the sin of the world, to have your wrath satisfied and to make the way clear to be back in a pure, awesome, amazing relationship with you. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for the thoughts that go through our head. Forgive us of the moments that we act on our temptations and it becomes sin. Forgive us, Lord, when we put our faith in ourselves more than we should put our than we put our faith in you. And Lord, encourage us and strengthen us. Deliver us from evil. For yours is truly the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, Lord. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you have a decision today to make for Jesus Christ, we have our elders inside in the back. I'll be here on the side. As the song's being sung, and you need to talk, you need to have a prayer today, don't hesitate. Let's love on each other this morning as we stand and as we sing. Amen indeed. So good to see each and every one of you. Again, I hope everyone's doing well, and I hope that coming out of today that something's going to change about your prayer life. I really do. And I hope that it will increase your prayer life and increase your faith in the process. A couple of things real quick to make you aware of, and I will have Diane correct me if I do mess up anything here. This coming Thursday, we are offering a summer church fellowship night in place of our potlucks that we've been doing. We want to give folks a little bit of a break from just cooking and just come on out and enjoy fellowship together and let other folks cook for us in that respect. So it's going to be at Casey's Farmhouse. This coming Thursday at 6 p.m. is when we're starting. Is there still room to sign up for that? Okay, if you're interested, just let Diane know. She's been keeping a list of folks who are have already let us know if they're coming. And there's going to be sign-up sheets at both Warriors for that. So just sign up on the sign-up sheets or just see Diane. And then finally, right after church today, if you are a teenager in the room, do we have a teenager in the room? Hey, I see one. That's cool. And the others are, and Diana is a teenager as well. I think all of us in spirit are probably teenagers, right? At some point down the road. But we are having a pizza party for all of our teenagers and their families after service today. We're going to have some hot pizza, have some drinks, got some chips. And one of the big reasons we're doing this is we wanted to let you know that we're putting a heavy push into providing a lot for starting up a teen ministry here at LCC. And we want to introduce you to people who want to invest in the lives of these kids and some of the things that we have planned coming into the fall as we head into that. So we cover your prayers for this. It's going to be an endeavor. Okay, this is something that's not going to happen overnight. It is something that is going to be a strain at times. It's going to be a challenge at times. But we really feel that this particular group of young people can be the lifeblood of our church as we want to grow and move forward. But you're going to be having kids that are going to have some new challenges that they're facing now and so forth. And we just we covet your prayers as we begin the building blocks of this ministry. Because we feel it's going to be a vital ministry and what's going to be happening here at Lexington Christian Church. So pray for us. And if you're interested in helping out in any way possible, we covet that. We hope you will be a part of that. The sponsor is going to be staying afterwards. So, but it's going to be a great time together just to get to know some of those kids and begin the building blocks of what our teen ministry can look like here at LCC. So please be praying. That's a big prayer request. So we'll probably put that on the prayer list more than likely. As you keep on praying for that. So, anything else that we need to know about before we are dismissed? All right. While we close our time in prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord God, we thank you. We're honored for you to reach out to us and say that I love you. I want a relationship with you. I desire to be connected in your life. And God, you've got a great track record You're faithful. You're loving. You're compassionate. You're full of mercy and grace. You're also go the extra mile because you care for us so much. You took that extra mile by sending your son Jesus for us. And that same Jesus today is in heaven, a resurrected, living God. And I pray that as he looks down on us, he's not looking down on us as big brother. No, he's looking down on us, Lord, because he loves us. And not only that, he's ready to move right in with us. And so, Father, I pray that as we go throughout this week coming up, that we have taken opportunities to practice what we are learning, what we are growing from your word. And that, God, we know that probably at some point this week, temptation's going to get the best of us. Because Satan keeps working on the follower of Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for you, Lord, to provide your hedge of protection on this body of Christ here. And may they be bold and courageous, knowing that they have a great and mighty God in their corner this coming week. We love you and we praise you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Invite someone for us.